Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm going to start a series called Stories of Christmas, and we're going to begin at the very beginning. Christ comes to earth. Here we go. In the little town of Nazareth, nestled among the hills of Galilee, was the home of Joseph and Mary. They would become the earthly parents of Jesus. Joseph was descended from King David. When the Romans sent out a decree to tax the people, he had to go to Bethlehem, the city of David, to pay the tax. Travel was difficult in those days. Mary, who went with her husband, was very tired as she climbed the hill on which Bethlehem stands. How she longed for a comfortable place in which to rest. But the inn was already full. The rich and proud had comfortable places to stay, while these humble travelers had to find rest in a building used to shelter cattle. There, in that lowly animal shelter, Jesus the Savior was born. Mary put him in a manger, the animal's feeding trough. In that simple cradle lay the Son of God, the highest, he whose presence had filled the courts of heaven with glory. Before he came to earth, Jesus was the commander of the angel hosts. The brightest and most exalted of the angels heralded his glory. They veiled their faces before him as he sat upon his throne. In his honor they tossed their crowns at his feet and sang his triumphs as they beheld his greatness. Jesus had remained at the Father's side, wearing the kingly crown and the royal robe. But for our sake, he chose to exchange all of the wealth of heaven for the poverty of our world. He chose to leave his throne and the angels who loved him. Because of his love for us, he accepted a life of hardship and a shameful death. All this Christ did to demonstrate how much God loved us. He lived on earth to show how we may honor God by our obedience to His will. He did this so that by following His example, we may at last dwell with Him in His heavenly home. Many of the priests and rulers among God's people were not ready to welcome Jesus. They knew that the Savior would soon come, but they expected Him to be a mighty king who would make them rich and great. The religious leaders could not imagine the Messiah as a helpless child. So when Jesus was born, God did not reveal the glad news to them. He sent it to some shepherds. They were good men. As they watched their sheep at night, they talked together about the promised Savior and prayed so earnestly for his coming that God sent messengers to them that the Messiah had arrived. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Joseph and Mary were Jews and followed the customs of their nation. When Jesus was 6 weeks old, they brought him to the Lord in the temple at Jerusalem. This was according to the law that God had given to Israel. Jesus was to be obedient in all things, so God's own Son, the Prince of Heaven, by his example teaches that we should obey. Parents would present only the firstborn son of each family at the temple. This ceremony reminded them of an event that had taken place long before. When the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, the Lord sent Moses to set them free. He told Moses to go to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say, "Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn, so I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn." This is found in Exodus 4, 22 and 23. Moses carried this message to the king, but Pharaoh answered, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." Then the Lord sent fearful plagues upon the Egyptians. The last plague was the death of the firstborn son of every family, from that of the king to the lowliest in the land. The Lord told Moses that every family of the Israelites must kill a lamb. Then they should put some of its blood upon the doorposts of their house. This was a sign that the angel of death might pass over all the houses of the Israelites and destroy nobody but the proud and cruel Egyptians. This blood of the Passover represented to the Jews the blood of Christ. In due time, God would give his dear son to be slain as the lamb had been slain, so that all who believed in him might be saved from everlasting death. The Bible calls Christ our Passover. Through faith, we are redeemed by his blood. So as each family in Israel brought the oldest son to the temple, they were to remember how children had been saved from the plague and how all might be saved from sin and eternal death. The priest picked up each child presented at the temple and held him up before the altar. Thus he solemnly dedicated them to God. Then after the priest gave him back to his mother, the child's name was written in the roll or book that contained the names of the firstborn of Israel. So all who are saved by Christ's blood will have their names written in the book of life. Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the priest as the law required. Every day fathers and mothers took their children to the temple. The temple priest saw nothing different in Joseph and Mary from many others. They were just simple working people. And in the child Jesus, they saw only a helpless infant. Little did the priest think that he was then holding in his arms the Savior of the world, the high priest of the heavenly temple. But he might have known, had he obeyed God's word, the Lord would have taught him all about these things. At this very time, two of God's true servants, Simeon and Anna, were in the temple. Both had grown old in his service. Now God showed them things that he could not reveal to the proud and selfish priests. God had promised Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Savior. As soon as he spotted Jesus in the temple, he knew that the child was the promised one. A soft heavenly light shone on Jesus' face. Simeon, taking the child in his arms, praised God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." This is found in Luke 2:29-32. Anna, a prophet, coming in that instant, gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. Anna, a prophet, coming in that instant, gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So it is that God chooses humble people to be his witnesses. Often those whom the world calls great, he has passed by. Eager to serve and honor themselves, they think little about serving and honoring God. Therefore, he cannot choose them to tell others of his love and mercy. The Prince of Peace. Mary, the mother of Jesus, pondered Simeon's prophecy. As she looked at the child in her arms and recalled what the shepherds of Bethlehem had said, she was full of grateful joy and bright hope. Simeon's words reminded her of the prophecy of Isaiah. She knew that those wonderful words spoke about Jesus. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. Well, we have to take a break right here. I don't know about you, but as I recount the story of Jesus, my heart again thrills at this great gift that the God of the universe would give to us. When we come back, we're going to talk about the visit of the wise men. We'll be right back.
Sam, what's the matter with you?
I'm so sleepy.
Well, you look like you're about to doze off right here in the library. What time did you go to bed last night?
I don't know, but it was really dark outside.
Sam! What? This is serious. You're not getting enough sleep.
I agree, so if you'll excuse me...
No, not here in the library. You need to get more sleep at home.
I can't go home. I'm in school.
You need to get more sleep at home at night.
How? I'm not sleepy at night. Only during the day. At school. In the library.
What did you eat for supper last night?
I'm sleepy, not hungry.
When you eat a big meal in the evening, your stomach has to work hard to digest all the food, and that can keep you awake. And what did you do right before you went to bed?
I watched television.
Aha!
Shh! Sorry!
Sam, when you watch those action shows you like so much, your mind gets all excited and your body gets all tense. That can keep you from going to sleep, too.
So what should I do?
Eat a smaller meal in the evening and don't watch television for at least an hour before going to bed. You might want to drink a nice cup of herbal tea, too.
Herbal tea? Do I look like someone who drinks herbal tea?
All right. A nice cup of warm water and honey, then. Something to calm you down.
Okay. Light meal. No action shows. Water and...
Sam! Sam! You're embarrassing me!
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on Earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com.
Well, today we're doing stories of Christmas, and we're beginning with the reason for the season, which is the story of Jesus Christ. And I promise you, we'd start back up with the visit of the wise men. God wanted people to know about the coming of Christ to earth. The priests should have taught the people to look for the Savior, but they themselves did not know about it. So God sent angels to tell the shepherds that Christ had been born and where they might find him. So too, when Jesus' parents presented him at the temple, some received him as the Savior. God had preserved the lives of Simeon and Anna, and they had the joyful privilege of telling others that Jesus was the promised Messiah. God meant for others, as well as the Jews, to know that God had come. In a country far to the east were wise men who had studied the prophecies about the Messiah. They believed his arrival was near. The Jews considered these men heathen, but they did not worship idols. They were honest men who wanted to know the truth and to do God's will. God sees what is in a person's heart. He knew that he could trust these men. They were in a better condition to receive light from heaven than the selfish and proud priests. The wise men were philosophers. They had studied God's handiwork in nature and had learned to love him because of what they saw there. The men loved to watch the wonders of the night sky. If they should spot a new star, they would welcome its appearance as a great event. On that night, when the angels came to the shepherds of Bethlehem, the wise men had noticed a strange light in the sky. It was the glory that surrounded the angels. By the time this light faded away, they had seen in the heavens what looked like a new star. At once they thought of the prophecy that says, "A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Was this star a sign that the Messiah had come? They determined to follow it to see where it would lead them. It guided them to Judea, but when they approached Jerusalem, the star became so dim that they lost track of it. Supposing that the Jews could at once guide them to the Savior, the wise men went into Jerusalem and said, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." Herod did not want to hear about a king who might someday take his throne. So he took the wise men off by themselves and asked them when they had first seen the star. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Search diligently for the young child and bring back word to me that I may worship him also." When the wise men heard this, they again started out on their journey, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men brought the most valuable things they had to the Savior. They set an example for each one of us. Many give presents to their earthly friends, but have none for the heavenly friend who has given them every blessing. We should not be like this. To Christ we should bring the best of all we have, the best of our time, the best of our money, and the best of our love. Herod had lied when he had said that he wanted to worship Jesus. Actually, he wanted to find the child so that he could kill him. The king feared that the Savior would grow up to be king and take his kingdom from him. The wise men prepared to return to tell Herod where they had found Jesus, but an angel told them in a dream to take another way home. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Joseph did not wait until morning, but got up at once. Then with Mary and the child he started by night on the long journey. The wise men had given costly presents to Jesus. In this way God provided money to pay for the trip and their stay in Egypt until they could return to their own land. Herod was very angry when he found that the wise men had gone home another way. He knew what God had said through his prophet about Christ's coming. Because of this, he knew that God had used the star as a guide for the wise men, yet he was still determined to destroy Jesus. In his anger, he sent soldiers to kill all the male children who were in Bethlehem, from 2 years old and under. How strange that a man should fight against God. What a terrible scene this murder of the innocent children must have been. Herod had done many cruel things before this, but his wicked life would soon come to the end. He died a terrible death. Joseph and Mary remained in Egypt until after Herod's death. Then the angel came to Joseph and said, "Go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Joseph had hoped to make his home in Bethlehem, where Jesus had been born, but when he neared Judea, he learned that a son of Herod was now ruling in place of his father. This made Joseph afraid, and he did not know where to live. To help him, God sent an angel to tell him what he should do. Following the directions of the angel, Joseph returned to his old home in Nazareth. And that's where we begin the life of Jesus. And I'm just going to share a little bit here, but I have so many more good stories of Christmas that I want to share with you. And every story is a springboard from this story of stories. During the childhood, Jesus lived in the little mountain village. He was the Son of God and might have had any spot on earth for his home. Jesus would have honored any place that he had chosen to live, but he did not go to the homes of rich men or the palaces of kings. He chose to dwell among the poor in Nazareth. Jesus wants the poor to know that he understands their problems. He has shared all the hard things that they have to go through. The Savior can sympathize with them and help them. Of Jesus in his early years, the Bible says, "The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men." His mind was bright and active. Jesus was of quick understanding. He showed a thoughtfulness and wisdom beyond his years. Yet his ways were simple and childlike, and he grew in mind and body just as any other child did. But Jesus was not in all things the same as other children. He was always sweet and unselfish. His willing hands were always ready to serve others, and he was patient and truthful. Though firm as a rock and standing for right, he never failed to be gentle and courteous toward all. In his home and wherever he might be, he was like a cheerful sunbeam. Jesus was thoughtful and helpful toward the aged and poor. He showed kindness even to animals. Tenderly, he would care for the little wounded bird. Every living thing was happier when he was near. In the days of Christ, Jewish people carefully educated their children. Their schools were connected with the synagogues or places of worship. People called the teachers rabbis. Jesus did not go to these schools, for they taught many things that were not true. Instead of God's word, they studied the ideas of human beings. Often these ideas contradicted what God had taught through his prophets. God himself, by his Holy Spirit, instructed Mary how to bring up his son. She taught Jesus from the Holy Scriptures, and he learned to read and study them for himself. Jesus also loved to explore the wonderful things that God had made on earth and in the sky. In this book of nature, he studied the plants and animals and the sun and the stars. Day by day, he watched them. As he did so, he tried to learn lessons from them. He wanted to understand the reasons of all things. Holy angels were always with him. They helped Jesus to learn about God from the things of creation. Thus, as he grew in height and strength, he also grew in knowledge and wisdom. Every child may gain knowledge just as Jesus did. We should spend our time in learning only that which is true. Falsehood and make-believe will do us no good. Only the truth is of any value, and this we may learn from God's word and from his works. As we study these things, the angels will help us understand. And what a privilege it is if you as the parents can homeschool your children. But even if you can't homeschool them, you are certainly their most important teachers. And we need to give our children time to really absorb nature and the relationships in the family that God has given us. And I hope as we are in this season of Christmas that we can remember Jesus is the reason. And with that, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.